Well, we sure want the Lord to give us something for our souls this morning. I was thinking about, we're not completely away from Psalms 24, where we started about right at the last Sunday of Monarch. And we've been reading and bouncing off of the verses 7 and 8. In Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And again we say, the Lord wants us to lift up the gates of our heart, and He wants the keepers of the gates to lift them up. Lift up the gates of our hearts, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. Capital letters, the Lord Jehovah, the one that is everlasting, that made all things, by Him all things consist, and He has all that we need. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. He is all wise. And it says here, the Lord, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And so for several Sundays we've been talking about the Lord mighty in battle. We talked, visited a little about temptation and how that God wants to meet with us there. He knows that we are flesh and He sees who we are and He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to fall to temptation. And then last week we visited about prayer and about worshiping the Lord and, read the scripture over in Revelations, where God had visited John the Revelator and began to and gave him all of this vision, and part of it Jesus spoke to him, part of it an angel spoke, I believe. And then John, toward the end, it says that this is Revelation 22 and 8 and 9, and it says, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So this morning our thought is worshiping God. And we looked up the definition of that, and it says, in Webster's, it says worship, because when you look up the Strong's definition, part of that is worship. Well, what does worship mean? In Webster's, it says chiefly and eminently, this is one of the definitions, the one that I believe matters to us in its form. The act of paying divine honors to the Supreme Being, or the reverence and homage paid to Him in religious exercises, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. And so last week we talked about the part of worship that includes prayer. And this morning I feel like the Lord has given us some things about confession. And, you know, that is also a part of the Word of God, and I want to look at the two sides of this, because I believe that the Word of God is very clear that the Lord wants us to live a blameless life, a holy life, that we can come into God's presence without guilt. I believe God wants us to do that, and He tells us in Romans 8, it talks about Romans 8 and 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Those things that the law could not do, it could only condemn us. It could only tell us what we did wrong, but it had no power to free us. But God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And so the Lord, He longs for our heart to be free from condemnation. Now, it is our adversary, the evil one, Satan, to try to accuse the brethren. It is his work to do that. But real condemnation, the condemnation that knows that we are guilty before God, I don't believe God wants us to carry that. I don't believe God wants us to have that. He wants our lives to be free from that. And I want to look at the two sides of this. But this morning we want to look at confessing and the value of it and the place of it in our lives. You know, there is a worship that is acceptable to God. And the Lord Himself said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now that's in John 4 and 23 and 24. But there is an acceptable worship to the Lord that He accepts, that He loves, that He wants. And He seeks those that will worship Him that way, in spirit and in truth. And so this morning as we look into the Word of God, we want our lives to be of truth. We want our lives to be such that we don't come before the Lord with condemnation on our heart, knowing that we are guilty before Him in our sins. The Lord came for that very reason. He came to deliver us from that. And I want to look at the visits of the Lord to different people and their reaction to that and the proper reaction to the visit of the Lord. But I want to read first in 1 John 3 and 20. And we would ask that the Lord would bless His Word and help us to be able to understand His Word. But it says here in 1 John 3 and 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, that is a wonderful thing when our heart doesn't condemn us, when we know that things are clear between us and God. And the Lord wants it to be that way. And it's not rocket science for it to be that way. We just have to humble ourselves. And if we've done wrong, repent of the wrong. But we have to confess ourselves before God, who we are and where we are, so that we can have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward all men. And the Lord wants it to be that way this morning. And so when we look at these things, we want God to help us to be able to get in the place and be in the place where our heart does not condemn us. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. God wants us to have confidence toward Him. He wants us to be able to stand in His presence. I believe this. The Lord, God Almighty, wants us to be able to stand in His presence. And He wants us to not feel condemned by that, but rather He wants us to feel the joy of heaven that comes from the presence of God. And so we see that when the temple was veil was rent in twain, and the Spirit of God had only dwelt there in that holy place as far as infilling people's, he dwelt there. That's where they had to come. But there was a time when Jesus died and that veil was rent and God came out of there to dwell in the hearts of men. And in that place that only He in that holy place had dwelt before. And so this morning, in John, just, St. John, if you will, 3 and 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, the Lord wants us to not have the condemnation of darkness upon our heart and soul. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men loved darkness rather than light. You know, when God begins to visit in our life and we choose the way of darkness, the way of sin, the way of the flesh, do you know that what that brings is it brings condemnation upon us? I want to look here in just a minute of how that God does visit people. He does. People do behold from time to time God's holiness. And I want us to see the difference. We want to look at John first in Revelation 1. And the Lord visited him here in a wonderful way. And we see John 1, Revelation 1 and 1. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." The Lord God, the Lord visited John here. We drop on down to verse 10, and it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, John here was on the Isle of Patmos. It says, for the word of God's sake. John had been banished to the Isle of Patmos, an island, because of his word, of his testimony for the Lord. And so we see here, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know, I don't believe that our human bodies are capable of beholding this kind of glory in this body. He said it was as the sun shone in his strength. It was a bright something. So much so that he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. This was the Lord speaking. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. You know, John just fell at his feet as dead. But when the Lord just touched him, and he said, don't fear, John, don't fear. The awesome presence of God is mighty above anything that this human body can experience in this life. It's something that I believe this body would melt in the presence of God were we to stand directly in his presence. But it would consume away. We have to have a glorified body for that. But you know, he says, fear not, I'm the first and the last. And then he began to give John a revelation. And he began to talk to John just what he wanted to do. He wants to speak to people. Do you know that he wants to give us a revelation too? Do you know that the presence, the holy, awesome presence of God, I don't speak of it lightly because I know it's one that is far greater than any of us. And that's not a proper way to say it. We're just a speck of dust in a universe. And God is so much greater than that that we could not take it in. But we see Him and He sees us and He loves us and He wants to visit with us. And He told John, He said, John, don't fear. And then He began to talk to him. I have a lot of things I want to tell you. You know, I'm kind of saying some things here that He said, write the things that you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I want you to write things that has already passed, things that are now, and things that will happen later. There's things, John, I'm going to tell you a lot of things here. I know I'm just putting those words in his mouth. But I believe the Lord then wanted John, He began to speak to him many things. Oh, how the Lord wants to do that. And so we see here, I believe had John have had condemnation in his life at this point, I believe John would have had to say, Lord, don't speak to me. I've got some things here I got to clear up first. But John was with the Lord. The Lord had purified his heart. The Lord had spoken to him. The Lord had changed John. He had changed these fellows that walked with him on this earth. And so let's look at Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 4th verse. Luke 5. And it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, this was the Lord speaking, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying... Now, this was a different story, wasn't it? Simon had yet... The Lord had to do some things in Simon's life, didn't he? He had some work to do. He has some work to do in all of our lives, folks. The Lord has a place He wants to take us. He wants to bring us to a place where He can begin to reveal Himself in ways that He never has before. And so we see here Simon, he said, and when Simon Peter saw it, all these fish, so much so their net started to break, it was more than he could take in. He knew that the presence of God was standing before him, and now how could he bear? And so he fell down, it says, at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He knew he had met the divine. He had met the Lord. And so he fell at his knees, confessing. This was the right thing for Peter to do. Had he not done that, I don't believe God could have ever used Peter. But Peter needed to confess here. And he confessed to the Lord. We see Peter had a lot of problems. But I will tell you what, there was a day in Peter's life when the Lord began to work with him through his journey with the Lord. And we see a day when Peter was filled with the Spirit of the Lord, God. And Peter spoke differently after that. They hung Peter. Peter wasn't afraid after that to stand up and face his accusers. He no longer said, I'm telling you, I don't know the man. I've not walked with him. I don't know him. I'm telling you, I don't know him. Cursing and swearing. Peter didn't do that anymore. He stood up. He had power like the Lord said he would have after that day and after that time. And so this morning, I just want to look at a few different places here. When the Lord visits us, the proper thing for us to do is to fall at His knees. If we need to confess, and I want to bring that out with Scripture, But if we have things we need to confess, then we need to confess. Confession is the first step we take toward God. It is impossible for God to be able to live and work in our lives unless we do confess to Him. And so, I want to look at Romans 14 and 11. And it speaks here, for it is written, Romans 14 and 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Now, you know, when people come in the presence of the Lord, I don't believe there's any choice. Peter fell on his knees. John passed out, it sounds like. He fell as dead before the Lord. However it happened. But, you know, when we come before the Lord, we're going to bow our knees. Folks, there's going to come a day that all of us are going to bow the knee. And all of our tongues are going to confess. And it says here, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, it's not for us then to judge one another, it goes on to say. But you know, it's for us, it's for ourselves to judge our own selves. To allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work with us. To allow His presence to speak to us, and we humble before Him. And that's the step that then God begins to draw close to us when we humble ourselves before Him. In 1 Timothy 5 and 24, it says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Do you know that there are going to be things that the judgment reveals that was never revealed in life? There will be a lot of things. And sometimes when I see one person mistreating another, or I see one person taking advantage or being dishonest with another, the thought that comes through my mind so often is, eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. And time, you can't put the word time in there because that doesn't do it justice. Eternity is a long, 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 forever. And so when we know that, we want our sins to go before us. Now I know this principle is bore out in this scripture. We want our sins to go before to the judgment. We want to confess them now because there is going to come a day that we will humble ourselves before God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day. And the best time for that to be is now. When the Lord deals with us, when He works with us, isn't it imperative? Isn't it absolutely necessary that we confess to the Lord where we are as He deals with us? Not everything the Lord deals with us on is sinful. Some things are just faults. Some things are just human traits that we need to work on. Maybe we're not as patient as we should be. Folks, there is no help for us unless we confess, unless we say, this is me. This is where I'm at. Lord, You see me. I have to come to the Lord and tell Him sometimes, Lord, I need help. I need You to help me. I need strength for this battle. I need to be able to humble myself here. Here I am in a tussle, and Lord, I want Your way. I want You to teach me Your way. I don't want my emotions to get into it and then I do rash things. I want to know Your ways. Lord, I confess my need to You. And you know, that is where the Lord, that first step is ours. And do you know that after that, the Lord wants to begin more steps? He wants to deliver us. He wants to work with us. We want to look at some scriptures that bring that out, I believe. 1 John 3 and 2. Now, this is still talking about, I want to speak of John's situation here. 1 John 3 and 2. Because John came before the Lord and he didn't have the experience Peter had back here in the beginning where he had to say, I'm a sinful man. It says here, John writes and he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How do you think we're going to be like the Lord? Do you think he has a physical body like we do? I hope that he has something a lot better than this body. But I will tell you, I believe in holiness, we can be like him. And I think that's what God is looking for. He wants to put something within us that is like him, so that when we meet him as John did, we don't faint before him in such a way that we say, Lord, I can't stand before you. Depart from me. I can't do this. And so John goes on. He says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Those are pretty strong words. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sins. We drop on down to the 8th verse. I know we could read, there's the whole Bible is full, but I'm going to go where I feel like the Lord wants me to go. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Folks, the Lord longs for us to be able to come before him with a heart that is void of real of accusation that is true, that has merit. And so tonight, this morning, I just want us to look at some things here that the Lord, I believe, wants our lives to be such that we can say, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's impossible if we have our life stained up with sin. When we see here in Genesis 3 and 8 and 10, 8 to 10, I want to look at their meeting with the Lord. And it says here, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool, in the garden in the cool of the day. Now who was this? This was Adam and Eve, the first ones. And it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, why did they hide themselves? You see, up to this time, the Lord, it seems evident that he came down sometimes in the cool of the evening or whenever, and he would visit with Adam and Eve, and they would visit with him. And all of a sudden, they hid themselves. Here comes the presence of the Lord, and they hide themselves. Why? It says here, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. How did Adam know he was unclothed? The Lord, he never knew that before that day. But you know what, folks? When we, before God, become unclothed in holiness, you know, there is something that settles down upon us that makes us not able, not willing, not it's undoable to come before the presence of God. We might think we will. We might think we can. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us to have a heart that does not condemn us by anything that we have done. In Revelation 6 and 14, it speaks of the end of time. And it says here, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Isn't that going to be something? Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Something great going on here. And it says here, and every island, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man from the bottom to the top, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You know, I don't think anybody's going to be able to stand in his presence in a sinful state at that time. Why were they not able to stand as John was? Because they wanted to hide as Adam did. Adam and Eve stood before the presence of the Lord for who knows how long before this happened. We don't have a time on that. But we know that they walked and they talked with God. And then there was a day that they were not able. They were not willing. They were afraid. And so they hid themselves, as it says here. And so I want to read one more place here, or maybe a couple more. So Isaiah 6 and 1 was the meeting of Isaiah with the Lord. When God began to use him and called him. And it says, in the year, Isaiah 6 and 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now, folks, I believe this is the proper meeting with God. Isaiah, it says, he said, woe is me. I am undone. I am in great trouble, because he met the Lord and he saw some of his glory. And it says here, he began to confess. I don't believe we can come in the presence of God without that. He began, I don't think it's just at the end of time. If we're going to come before God, we're going to come before him with things gone before. With those evil things gone before, already confessed before that time. And it says here, then see, God takes the second step. And what did he do? Then flew one of the seraphims. Let's see, he had a live coal in his hand that he had taken off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. See, he said I was a man of unclean lips. He laid it on my mouth, he said. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, if Peter would have stood up, if Isaiah would have stood up in their own strength, God could never have used them. But here we see that immediately, Isaiah heard something, didn't he? He began to humble himself before God and confess. And the Lord forgave him, didn't he? That's the way it works. And then the Lord said, I got a work for you to do. And God had something he wanted Isaiah to do. And we have this awesome book of Isaiah with all these prophecies of the Lord. All the things, the many things in it. There we find the many names of the Lord. Wonderful, the mighty God. We find many things about the Lord here in this writing of Isaiah. But Isaiah first, he said, I am. This is who I am, Lord. Folks, that's what we have to do too. We just have to say, this is who I am, Lord. I want you to purge me. I want you to purge my sin. I want you to put within me your holiness and your love. I want to be like you. And you know, when the Lord does that, then it fits us for service. And will it be 25 years before He can use us? He began to use Isaiah. He began to talk through Isaiah. He called him right there because he had a man here now that he could use. Peter, he had a person he could use, and he had some work to do on Peter. And he was very plain with Peter. And Peter was very quick to acknowledge. When Peter failed the Lord, you know what he did? He went out and wept bitterly. He had nothing to say for himself. He went out and wept bitterly, and the Lord heard him. And the Lord said, when you're converted, I want you to come back and strengthen the brethren. I got a job for you to do, Peter. I have something I want you to do. And so when we humble ourselves before the Lord, what does the Scripture say? He will lift us up, doesn't it? By His presence, by His call, by His words in our life, by His holiness being lived out in our life, the Lord will lift us up. And so as we allow the Lord that place, I believe that's where God begins to work. I want to look in the New Testament here in Luke, the 18th chapter, because Jesus was pretty hard on the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were people that were supposedly the best of the society. They were the most religious. They tried to follow the law to the letter, and they were wicked in their hearts many times. And the Lord saw that, and He had no mercy on it at all. And He referred to them as hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites, He said. And so He saw that wickedness in their heart. The Lord wanted to cleanse that, but He knew that the only possible way was for them to be honest with the Lord, to confess to God and to others if need be their ways. And so we see here Luke 18 and 10, and it says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. The best society had to offer, supposedly, in the Jews. And the other, a publican. They considered them as dogs. They were lower than as we would say, a snake's belly. They cheated the people many times. They were dishonest. They worked for the Roman government, whom they despised. They were tax collectors. And so they too went up in the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, maybe that was true. But this man had something fundamentally wrong. He was looking at himself instead of at God. And if he would have seen God, he would have seen many needs. And folks, we have many needs too. The Lord wants to make us to grow in His grace all through our life. He wants to change us from one place to another. He wants to change our lives until at the end of our life we look quite different than we did at the beginning, even of our Christian experience. I believe the Bible bears that out. And so the Lord wants us to grow. And so we see here, the Pharisee stood and prayed this way. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, he didn't even want to get near. He said, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When we come before the presence of the Lord, let's humble ourselves. Let's be before Him in such a way that, Lord, I want Your ways in my life. Lord, whatever we are, however we are, there are things that I believe we should confess that are not sin. even after we have been delivered from sin and walking with God in holiness, the Lord wants us to confess who we are before Him and apply for His grace from day to day to help us. The Lord wants that this morning. James 5 and 13 bears some of this out. Now he says here in James 5 and 13, got the wrong chapter here. He says here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now he didn't say, you know he's committed sins. He said, if he's committed sins, if he's done things in direct violation of the Word of God, if he has violated his walk with God, he said, if that has happened, they'll be forgiven him. And he says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And so this morning, I just want to challenge us a little bit here that we confess our faults. It doesn't say to confess your faults to everybody. It says one to another. There's a place. First, we confess to God. But folks, sometimes we have to confess to one another. I have a fault. I have a need. I'm an impatient person. I speak rashly. Sometimes we have to tell our wife, I'm sorry. That wasn't nice the way I said that. Folks, we have to be honest with who we are and with God. And if we are not, there is no help for us. That is the step one that brings God's help on the step two. And so as we come before the Lord, we humble ourselves, the scripture says, in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. That's in James 4 and 10. But you know, it says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The Lord wants to heal some things. Do you know that coming down in your generations, your father, your mother has likely given you some things that you've got to deal with? The way you were raised and the way I was raised, I know the way I was raised, I can look back and see things that maybe all of them I couldn't see at one time. But you know, I can see things that needed to be healed. Folks, we come into life, into marriage, into relationships, not even knowing how we should deal with things many times. And we make grievous errors. And we speak with one another in ways that, and I'm not talking about cursing and swearing and sinful things, but folks, sometimes we can be hard and just, we think that's the way a dad is supposed to be. He's just supposed to be rough and hard. You know, the Lord tells us that the wisdom that's from above is first pure and then it's gentle. And it's easy to talk to, easy to be entreated. It's easy for someone, including our children, to come up and visit with us about things that are uncomfortable. Those are things that God wants to put into our life. But many times our families suffer. We suffer. Others suffer. The Word of God suffers. Because we ourselves do not stop and hear those that would tell us what we need to hear and confess. Yes, I said it that way and that isn't right. And I'm very sorry. Pray for me. He goes on to say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Ooh, it goes a long ways. It availeth much. Folks, it availeth much. But it doesn't happen until we take step number one. We have to recognize who we are. We have to confess who we are. We have to admit who we are. We have to admit that there's something. Yes, I'm a little off base here. And you know, when we do that, then God is able. It enables Him to deliver. It enables Him to restore relationships. It enables Him to give us those things that we have longed for. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us. It's very liberating to be really honest. It is very confining to hide things. It is very confining. It is very obnoxious to the Lord, and He is not able to help us. And sometimes we don't tell everybody everything all the time. The Lord never told us to do that. But He said, confess your faults one to another, especially to those that we've hurt. We might need to go say, I'm sorry. I have a fault, and I want you to pray for me. And I want to bind together in prayer. And they might have a fault too. And we might have to humble ourselves a little to be willing to say, will you pray for me? But we have to do that, folks. God help us to meet the Lord in a place where He can begin to deliver and teach us and help us. I know that there is a deliverance that is immediate. I know that. I believe that fully. But folks, I have watched many lives. And through the Christian life, there are many places that we have to give up self. And we have to be delivered from our own thoughts and our own ways. And if we are not, the price is high. The price many times is in those that we love the most. And yet, how much we want the Lord to work. Let's humble ourselves that the Lord might lift us up and that He might heal us and give us and change things. I believe, I've been mentioning this word because I hope we understand what I'm talking about. This is where the dynamic of God working in a life begins to happen. That's by us owning who we are, by us being real with the Lord and with others. That's where it begins to happen, the dynamic of God working in our life. Because see, we can work all we want to. We can try as hard as we want to, and things don't happen. And it never works, and it never works out. We want God to come on board. We want Him to fight our battles. Who is this Lord? Who is this one? The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the one, and we need Him to fight for us, don't we? And so we humble ourselves before Him, and we come before Him, and we confess, and we ask the Lord to heal us. And that thing that starts in us, and I know that's pretty unbelievable that it could be in us, that it would need to start in us. Can you imagine that I have a fault? Can you imagine? I'm talking about all of us eyes here. Can you imagine that we have a fault? That's amazing, isn't it? The help comes when we really own it and we say, it is mine. It is mine. Ugly talking to one another. Folks, sometimes we just need to stop and say, that wasn't nice. That wasn't nice. And if it isn't nice, it isn't. It doesn't matter what we... Sometimes we want to say, yeah, but I'm... No, we're talking ugly. And that's the truth. And you know, when we stop there and we humble ourselves before God, then we can get the help that we need. But when we say, I wasn't talking ugly, I was just rebutting what you said you needed straightened out. Folks, the Lord wants us to be a blessed people. He wants His holy, heavenly presence to dwell in our lives. He wants to speak to us. But it comes from us being totally open and honest with God and with other people too in our lives. Maybe sometimes we're selfish. Some people are just selfish. They just, if you deal with them, you're going to get the short end of the stick every time. It's just going to happen that way. You know, sometimes we have to say, that was selfish. I wouldn't want that done to me. We have to do that in our marriage, don't we? You know what? Yeah, she's right. He's right. You know what? Maybe it was my fault. And we think we're so right. And sometimes we need the Lord to open our hearts and our minds and teach us His ways. His ways bring the blessings of life. I believe that. I was going to read Daniel 9 and read about Daniel's confession before the Lord. Maybe we'll read a little bit of it, but I like to print out these scriptures. That's why my notes are like they are. The scriptures are so valuable. Most of it is scriptures anyway. Daniel 9, I want to read just some of that. Starting at verse 3. Listen to Daniel's... When I look at Daniel's life, I am amazed. But when Daniel came before God and he had needs and he wanted God to work, you know what he did? Starting at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God. Now I realize this was before the day of Christ. It was before the day of salvation and whole sanctification that I believe changes a man entirely. And it did for me. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The process is still the same. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Today, I don't think anybody rebels. They just see it different. They don't rebel against the word of God, do they? They just see it different. They just decide God don't require this anymore. God doesn't, you know what? God is who he is, folks. And when we come to him, if we want the results Daniel had, we have to take this kind of way. And it says here, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. We didn't listen when the preachers preached the word of God from the anointing of the Lord, from his vessel pouring out to them and them to us. We didn't listen to them. And he says here, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you know, the Lord had caused them to be taken captive and all those things. But Daniel didn't charge God foolishly with anything. He just humbled himself before God and said, it is our fault. We have done it, and here we are. And now, Lord, we need you real bad. And Daniel was fasting and praying and humbling himself. I believe this is the way that you find God. And I will tell you, toward the end of that time, verse 20, it says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I have prayed with people at the altar and I saw God touch them. I saw them change. I saw the change come. Do you know that Daniel was doing what we all have to do to find God in our life? He was seeking him. He was confessing to him exactly who he was and who his friends were. And he said here, while he was praying, the Lord sent the angel Gabriel down. And he touched him and began to speak to him. And he began to reveal things to Daniel. Oh, how the Lord wants to do that this morning. So I just want to encourage us today that God, he wants us to be blessed. He wants his holy presence to come down to us, each one today. Not to somebody, not to some preacher, and he tells me everything about my life. The Lord wants us to touch God. He wants us to know the Lord. He wants us to know His voice. He wants us to hear Him speaking to us. He wants us to have direction that comes from God. He wants us to have skill and understanding in life that only God can bring. And so it comes from our humbling before Him. One more scripture says, "This poor man cried," Psalm 34, "and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Oh, this morning, the scripture says, if he have committed sins, or, you know, if we are overtaken in a fault, it's part of our worship to the Lord to humble ourselves before him. This is who I am, Lord. I need your help today. Doesn't always mean we've done sinful things. It just means that I am with God completely open. I am with my fellow brother. I want to be open. I want my wife to know really who I am. I want the Lord to be able to heal me of things that would keep me from His presence this morning. So the Lord bless us each one. I thank the Lord. I found it to be true. I found His way is a good way. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that putteth his trust in Him." Pray for me.